So we got the precursor.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To the forerunners, to the antecedents, to the flood.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Halo is only about, like, synonyms for before. Loreboys here, the internet's number one body temperature regulating podcast, pushing the headstones aside for another audience request. You fucking people just want more of the same shit, so here it is. Here's Halo again. My name is Peter O'Donohue, and within the grave mind with me are...
My name's Ethan. My favorite body part to regulate the temperature of is the nipples. I cut holes in all my shirts.
Helps with the chafing, too.
It's a 2-for-1.
Yeah. Ethan's a big jogger, so he does get the nipple band-aids. Yeah.
I like jogging, and I like those wooden rocking horses, which also cause a surprising amount of chafing.
Yeah. Really?
My name's James, and the number one way that I regulate my body temperature is my thighs rip the bottom of my jeans out, and I think it's an evolutionary thing, like my ancestors had really hot legs or something. Either that, or I've eaten too much in the last year. But
there's a very specific type of European or Scottish lion, which is known for preying on people's thighs, but they have very small hands, so if you're able to burst out of their hand grip, you're usually able to escape them.
Yeah, it's like a Moorish cougar, so it lives in the swamps.
A Moorger.
Oh wait, no, the Moors are like a different kind of people, as well as like a Moor is being like a Scottish swamp, right?
Yeah, a Moor is a swamp, I think you're right.
Traditionally haunted.
A heath is a plain.
It's probably a magic card or something Moor, and it gives Moor. You some...
For sure. Blasted, yeah. Moor, yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah. Phyrexian Moor. So like I said, we're doing more Halo.
More Halo.
More Halo. Tongue just like got stuck on my teeth there. We're doing more Halo, as requested by, my God, Terry, Fitty, Hondolo, Jester, and the rest. You know the rest. Names.
Yeah, this is the Lore Boys / the intro to Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Yeah, know their names. So if one of y'all wants to recap some of the episodes we've done thus far so that people can go find them in the description below, presumably, what have we talked about thus far with the Halo universe? And, I mean, it goes without saying all three of us are very familiar with at least, like, most of the games, the original trilogy, at least.
You say it goes without saying, but I'm going to start this recap off with a saying. They say John Halo was a steel-driving man. He was known, I think, for being made out of goo, and having some of his associates dissolve into goo at certain points. Am I mixing up canons here?
No, you're mixing up who was actually made of goo whilst, you know, he was laying down the rails to go west.
Okay.
It's the Oni, who are like the spy section of the government, kidnapped children and replaced them with flash clones, which right. are like, they're like your ready-made microwave child.
Right.
You leave them in a glass of water and they come out as a human
exactly.
child.
You take someone's child and then you put their child back in the jar of water on their bedside to hatch out of a little egg.
I remember that part now.
Yeah.
So then they grew up to be Spartans. They fought wars, presumably on Earth, primarily, until the Covenant showed up? Or were they a direct response to the Covenant?
No, they were a direct response to human colonies out in space wanting shit like rights and whatnot, which not in my fiction, idiot.
Yeah, did we call them strike breakers at one point, or was that
strike breakers?
I feel like we make that joke a lot.
Like,
so.
Yeah, exactly. The insurrectionists basically were just like, hey, we do a whole lot of labor out on these like dusted mining planets. Could we get, I don't know, $15 an hour? And they were just like, well, maybe. What if we kidnapped your kids and had them kill you? Is our it's a counteroffer, actually. And then we've all played the games. I've been playing through the Master Chief Collection up until I got distracted by the Doom Eternal DLC. Mm-hmm. My favorite thus far, I'm doing chronologically. So I did Reach 1, 2, and now I'm on ODST. So I actually beat Halo 2 for the first time like 3 weeks ago. And I'm on ODST now. And I do have to say, the kind of weird, quiet, non-Master Chief ones are the ones I prefer. Like Halo Reach, I find very haunting, and I really, really, truly love it. Like, I think it's definitely the best one I've played thus far. And then I played the remaster of Halo 2, where the remastered audio is more important than the visuals, because switching through, you know, old graphics and new graphics in Halo 1 is great to see, like, what you remember and what you actually saw as far as nostalgia goggles go. It's like, in 2001, but the remastered audio in Halo 2 makes the original obsolete. Like it changes so much, and like I'm not like an audio guy, but I give full credit to like audio engineers out there and musicians and whatnot, because the music and the gun sounds, everything is so much fucking better in Halo 2 Anniversary.
Hmm. Yeah, like you mentioned with being able to see how it used to look and how it looks now, when I played it on Microsoft Game Pass, the Halo Master Chief Collection has a single button where you can switch to old graphics to new graphics instantly while you're playing. So it's really cool. You can see how old the old textures, like, they looked a lot better in our youth. We could say that for sure.
Yeah, in Halo 2, you can do that in the cutscenes. So you can see how they changed like blocking and the way that they shoot cutscenes. Like the cutscenes in Halo 2 Anniversary are also like, they're not in engine, so they look way, 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 way better than anything else. Yeah. But the way they're all like blocked and shot is also very interesting. Like Halo 2 Anniversary is like a fucking incredible product, I have to say. Yeah. Like really, really cool.
I mean, Halo 1, 2, and 3 were fantastic games. I have played all of them. I know the storyline to Red versus Blue, the old Machinima by Rooster Teeth, way better than I know the storyline to Halo. I've been it many, many times, but it was a lot more time spent on multiplayer in the games, for sure, for me.
Yeah, Caboose's parents were very sad when his clone died of, kidney failure or some shit.
Was it the battle rifle? Like, if you got those perfect shots, it was only two times you had to press a trigger to kill someone?
Or you can insta-kill every fucking elite in the game with a plasma pistol and a battle rifle. Because if you take out their shield, it's one headshot.
Yeah.
The battle rifle had that 3-shot burst, so you had to aim for the recoil and everything.
Yeah. 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 Now, obviously we talked about the Spartans and the humans and the Covenant, which we mentioned, which are the alien races that have all kind of unified against humanity. We have episodes on all three of those things, and this fourth episode here is... Well, I mean, we're all red-blooded men, and all three of us know that nothing spices up a relationship better than an uninvited third party.
True, yeah, true. Right? That's why I love when I see couples at restaurants enjoying a nice romantic dinner. I always pull up a chair and join them.
Yeah.
I figure, what could spice things up more than me hitting on either this man or this woman for the other one, you know?
And remember to sample both of their plates. But don't use utensils.
Of course.
That really improves their romance, is your bare hands in their, spaghetti.
Strangely, always spaghetti. And I always try and do that thing where I'll grab one spaghetti noodle and start sucking it into my mouth, but I'll leave the other spaghetti noodle conspicuously on their fork, expecting them to pick it up and finish it. But instead, all they do is like try and call the head waiter or get management involved or threaten to call the police. It's romance is dead in 2020, let me tell you.
You're wearing a white shirt, and I can just picture you slurping the spaghetti and like sauce flying all over the white shirt.
No matter what the meal is, Jamie, when I eat out at a restaurant, I have a lobster bib on. Okay. So always a lobster bib. And then I usually have one of those hats that you see at baseball games with the tanks for beer, but I usually have red wine in those.
So nice.
My teeth are heavily stained by the time I sit down at this table, and I'm usually staggering drunk.
You can save money that way too. The markup on alcohol in restaurants, it's
insane.
You want to be prepared for anything. You want your lobster bib and then chopsticks in your dominant hand just in case, so you can eat anything.
The 16th Amendment protects you from unlawful searches of your beer hats, just so you guys know.
Yes. Keep guns holstered in them with little straws coming out.
Yeah. It's called freedom, all right?
So today's episode, for people who have read the title will know, are the other date crashers of the Halo universe, and not just Spaghetti Ethan. Mm-hmm. Although they are kind of fibrous and gross in that sense. Where today's episode is about the Flood. A parasitic alien species that has run ruinous through the Milky Way galaxy for millennia. However, their greatest achievements was becoming the main antagonist of the Halo trilogy. Excuse me.
Yeah.
To understand the Flood is to understand the powdered bodies of extragalactic alien gods.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Powdered how? So, like, their bodies were powdered, or their bodies were covered in powder? Like, a powdered donut is covered in powder, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they intended on becoming seasoning, but they definitely did in some capacity. So okay. We've clowned on Bungie and other devs like Blizzard a lot for coasting on like zero original ideas with good gameplay, and I'm not sure which of their like fucking neurosurgeons was like Cthulhu, but we don't call of it that, was the thing that they wanted to add to the canon. So they were like, oh, we've exhausted all the other, we did Heinlein, we did Catholic aliens, and now what else are we going to add in? It's just like, guys, I don't know if you've heard about this dude, H.P. Lovecraft. Now hear me out. I know it's an original idea. What if giant alien squid gods from outside of the galaxy were also part of our story? I know it's never fucking been done before, but like,
that's the big three. That's the big three.
You got me thinking, though. So, like you said, are they powdered like a powdered donut that's just powder on the outside? Or are they powdered the whole way through, kind of thing? What if you pranked your friends by getting a powdered donut that was powdered the whole way through? So they're going to take a bite. It's like, just all best.
Take a powdered donut for, take note, listeners, for next year's April Fools. Take a powdered donut, suck all the jelly out, fill it with chalk, and then give it to your friends.
Yo, that reminds me. I heard like this headline where the Swedish government had to stop Bill Gates, or like a thing that he had funded recently that was seeding the atmosphere with chalk dust to dim the sun as like some kind of last ditch to stop global warming. He was like, what if we filled the atmosphere with chalk dust to reflect
light? He was just hanging outside in like a kid's park outside of school and saw the kids banging the chalk things together.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Eureka. Yeah, of course. He's sitting in a tub outside of a children's playground, and he's, you know, like entertained enough by the displaced liquid, like anybody would be. But then he sees the kids clapping erasers together, and that's a real fucking idea on how to save the earth.
And he says "Eureka, Eureka!" and runs through the streets naked. And
yeah. Exactly. And he's rich and white, so no one stops him. They're just like, I hope he's okay.
No one.
And then
can.
That's the end of it. Nope. Some things, like chalk, do manifest naturally as particulate. The precursors, which is the shitty name they gave their Cthulhu aliens, did not. The precursors are referred to as a transcendent race that can travel between galaxies. And their hobby is basically accelerating the evolution of various races and then seeding their worlds with technology. So they began to do this in the Milky Way about 10 million years ago, according to Forerunner history. So we have the Forerunner who precedes humanity, sort of, and then the Precursor who precede the Forerunner, and then the last guys up are the Headliners, and that's the ones you actually give a shit about.
Right.
Right. So they're the opening band who was friends with the Milky Way galaxy, I guess.
I wonder if there's any bleed over into the Jack and Daxter universe with their precursors.
Yeah, right.
Probably. Somebody probably played Jack and was just like, oh man, we don't have ancient aliens. We do, but not that ancient.
Yeah.
And like toss that shit in there.
What if ancient aliens, but ancienter alieners.
Ancient aliens? It's like, yeah, but where did they get their ideas for pyramids? Huh? Think about it.
Yeah.
No, like, clearly no one can just invent the pyramid. It has to be seeded by aliens.
No ancient alien is sophisticated enough to have developed the pyramid entirely on their own, okay?
Yeah, so, of course.
Dude, it's the strongest shape.
It is.
It is. like I said, it's just ancient aliens stacked into ancient aliens at this point. The Forerunners build a lot of the iconic alien structures in the Halo universe, including the Halo Array, which we'll talk about.
The Forerunners, you said.
The Forerunners, okay. Yeah, exactly. They wrote the manga, basically, for the Netflix adaptation in the sense that, like, they created all the cool shit, and then humanity and the Covenant kind of adapted that going forward.
Sure.
It was worse. The Forerunner revered the precursors as gods and assumed what they called the mantle as a sort of religious code. This code instructed them to protect the galaxy and all sentient life within it for the thrill, the money, and the PR. So everything.
Okay. So we have precursors come to Milky Way.
Yep.
They go to Venus to get more penis and Mars to get more chocolate bars. And they, on the way through, they see Earth and they say, like, that's a good planet for some life. Let's start accelerating life there. Let's start accelerating life here. Let's start accelerating life everywhere and leave a bunch of ancient technology around. And the Forerunners were one of the races that got accelerated by the precursors. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. They found the Neanderthal equivalent of the Forerunner on their own homeworld, and after having already, I don't know what order it went in, but it was like, yeah, it's like, oh, they're that's an admirable monkey man. He could use a spear or some shit, and then, you know, sort of thing.
Look, I've taken a monkey and given him a gun.
Yes.
I've taken a monkey. I've given him a go-kart, a small biplane, and a hovercraft.
I've taken a monkey and I've given him a 12-inch steak and cheese.
Ew.
Oh, wait, wrong lore.
Yeah, so Master Chief is just narrating this whole thing while they're going through the core of the Earth. another species that was, you had already mentioned this, but another species that was brought up by the precursors was humanity. And if you guys want to flip to the guides I sent you earlier to page 117 of your Ancient Alien textbook, you
can start following
along. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The precursors eventually made it clear that they intended to pass on the responsibility of protecting the galaxy to humanity, not the Forerunner. So now these three species, I guess, are kind of coexisting out in space, like tens of millions of years ago. So there is an ancient civilizations of humans, and also Forerunner and the precursor are still there. So they kind of run afoul of each other when the precursors were like, well, no, it was not you that we intended to pass on the mantle of responsibility of protecting the galaxy. It was these other guys who don't worship us as gods. And that obviously goes real well.
Hey, we know we gave you guys sapience, we gave you guys the ability to understand what's going on in the universe, and we gave you guys the keys to the kingdom and expected you guys to watch over all life here for a time. But we want you to know that we only did that because we like your younger brother better, and we needed to give him a bit more time to grow up.
The Forerunner, having already spent all their money on black sweatpants, castration, and Nike decades, were predictably feeling a little bit slighted by God himself.
Yeah.
And the Forerunner began a genocidal campaign against the precursors, wiping out all but a few of them. This is the Forerunner Precursor War. Okay. The surviving precursors hid out in deep space and developed a method of self-preservation, which involved converting themselves into a fine dust and sealing it away in containers on automated spaceships.
Oh, these are Flutter mummy monsters. They just, like...
Yeah.
Flutter, I mean, that's not a connection that I made, but you're absolutely right. Flutter really more of like a mummy curse.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I do like that the humans and the Covenant in the series then are just like 1800s era British explorers ripping open tombs to ripping yeah. open mummy tombs, basically, right?
Yeah, the first thing you do when you open a mummy tomb is just like take the deepest breath you've ever taken.
Yeah, that's it.
It'll be fucking fine. There's no mold in here.
Pop open those canopic jars, would you? Let some of that dust into the air.
Who beat the mummy in that movie? It's Brendan Fraser's Master Chief.
Oh, shit.
When he's got his crying eyes through the visor. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that means that Benny would be the Covenant, I guess, would be what's the elite's name? The Arbiter.
The Arbiter.
The Arbiter. So I guess Benny would be the Arbiter then. Or
I think it's Jewel Mdama is his real name.
Benny's real name or the Arbiter's real name?
The actor who plays Benny is Jewel Mdama. The Arbiter is the Arbiter, obviously.
Okay.
Jewel Mdama, we have got the power.
And it wasn't Billy Zane who played the mummy, but it was a guy who looks incredibly like Billy Zane.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, mm-hmm. Billy Zane is in some of the Dungeons & Dragons films and Titanic.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. He's the fiancé, the rich, waspy fiancé in Titanic.
Yes. Yeah. He's the guy who deserves to die, but doesn't.
Exactly.
Because he steals some Irish orphan or whatever the fuck.
Who takes the propeller death? Is that just like a random extra?
Oh, yeah. That's Mr. Propeller. He's credited as Mr. Propeller by James Cameron. So this is what they did. They turned to dust, sealed themselves in jars, put themselves on automated self-driving spaceships. That could never go wrong. And this dust, their intention was, once it was released, would allow them to reconstitute their bodies with their memories intact from the time where they were disintegrated.
Okay.
All the surviving precursors except one would attempt this. He remained in stasis for millions of years, eventually becoming known as the Primordial. So he is pretty much like a frozen monk on the edge of the galaxy, from what I understood. Okay. And he's just, that's it.
He's a Imperial Custodian. So I'm going to guess you don't know the answer to this question, but like, if the end goal of opening the jars was to allow them to reconstitute, why did they disintegrate themselves in the first place?
It was just their way of, because they turned themselves into dust. So it's a complicated and kind of dumb answer, but the dust doesn't age anymore, so they kind of managed to like flash disintegrate themselves into the state that they were currently in, and then at some point we're just like, well, the Forerunner would never suspect sand so that's just like how they hid themselves away for the longest amount of time.
Space too big.
Yeah. We found a precursor ship, General, but it was just filled with jars and jars and jars of sand.
So that's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because the next thing I wrote was like any plan in history that revolved around having a reliable cannery, it would eventually go completely awry. The dust began to spoil, just like the citrus fruit on the Franklin expedition, or like anyone who's ever been a sailor and had lead poisoning.
We have a pre-glimpse of that with all like the doomsday preppers who are like, I do all my canning, I can everything, you know? And you're just like, well, you're going to get botulism one day, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I put the elastic band and the tinfoil on the top of the jar myself. I don't need the government to do it.
What the hell is botulism? Because I remember your mom used to always say it whenever we washed the dishes, not to use too much soap because we get botulism.
My mom was so incredibly wrong about botulism my entire upbringing. She thought it came from not rinsing dishes well enough. She thought it came from soap, but it's actually like a very, very, very deadly, naturally occurring pathogen that just like from spoiled food and spoiled meats, they can develop botulism, basically.
Oh, okay.
It often forms in improperly sealed cans, like as things that take like things that can spoil over the course of several years.
Yeah, I still thought about it when I would do my dishes, like to this day. her propaganda is just.
I believed it for my whole life, and then I watched. It was like a Veritasium, maybe, or like a SciShow. I don't know. It was some YouTube science show where it's like top five deadliest naturally occurring pathogens, and it was the one. I clicked on it because it had ricin, the one from Breaking Bad. And I was like, I want to see how deadly ricin actually is, you know, or if you could actually like develop it as they did in the show. And then the first one he talked about was botulism. And I was like, That's not how you get botulism. You get botulism for not rinsing your dishes. Wait a minute. Could my mother have been wrong this whole time? And it turns out she was.
I got to ask my dad about that because our parents were in the same high school class at some point. So he might have the same stupid fucking idea.
Some science teacher just gave all the wrong information. And it's affecting two generations down.
Yeah. It was probably Batty Katak. I know that's he was a substitute teacher at my high school after he was also a high school teacher at VCHS for our parents.
Sure.
Yeah.
Name some other potential teachers for our parents. Peter, why don't you?
What?
I said, name some other potential teachers for our parents. Why don't you? Our listeners.
The only one I know is Batty. He's dead now, RIP, but that's it.
Oh, didn't rinse his dishes properly.
Yeah, I guess not.
pretty dark.
It's awful.
I didn't know the guy.
It's funny.
I was this complete tangent about another podcast, no less. So maybe this won't make the final cut. But I was listening to Comedy Bang Bang, and they had an episode which released on the 5th of April, Easter Monday, and so stands to reason they recorded it the week before. And they have it was their 700th episode, and every 100th episode they have the same. He has the same two guests on, Jason Mantzoukas and Andy Daly.
I hate Jason Mantzoukas
I don't like his characters in shows, but he's really good on Comedy Bang Bang because he doesn't play character. He's just himself. And I think he's much more enjoyable like that. But I just don't like the characters that he plays. It's not necessarily his performance. Anyway, Andy Daly has this recurring character where he's a professional royal watcher, like British royal watcher. So he watches the royal family and he sells stories to the Sun and things like that. That's what he does for a living. And then they went on a 45-minute tirade where he talked about how he's impersonating Prince Philip because Prince Philip is actually dead. And then the guy croaked like a week later.
Oh, but my it was like fucking
45
God.
Minutes. I was like, man, they must have been kicking themselves whenever the news came out that Prince Philip passed because they talked about it for so long. It was
That's brilliant.
Incredibly uncomfortable listening to it now.
I don't know, leave it in. People are here for the conversation. But I do have more Halo, if anybody hasn't just uninstalled their podcast app at this point.
What's this? Like, what the Royal fuck? Family? I don't care about that. Other podcasts? I hate those. Throws iPhone out his window.
So, the dust began to spoil, which was predicted previously on a podcast or something like that. So it was in bad taste after 4 days. Mm-hmm. Around the year 107,445 BC, ancient humans discovered abandoned spaceships drifting around the galaxy, with what could have been hundreds of tubes of mysterious dust in storage, like on board. Yes.
When you say ancient humans, do you mean like Neolithic humans, like on Earth, or do you mean these precursor advanced ancient humans?
Precursor advanced ancient humans.
Okay. Are we going to get like convergent evolution of these two species, or is it like a completely different timeline where humans on Earth never evolved naturally?
No. Like, don't worry. That's covered towards the end.
Okay.
There is an answer to that question because I was asking the same thing, and thankfully it's been answered by the weird sci-fi writers that covered this. So that's it.
Okay.
So after studying the dust they had discovered on these kind of autonomous ships, and I'm not sure if these autonomous ships like just had not planned to be adrift for 9 million years and just ran out of power, so that when finally ancient humans discovered them, they just found a bunch of expired dust, and it was just like, oh, what a waste.
Yeah.
oh, sweet.
Free chalk. This chalk's gone off.
After studying the dust, the eggheads discovered that it was organic and completely inert, so they had assumed it was totally harmless. It somehow, like, they've somehow, like, discovered that it had a psychotropic effect on some of their domesticated animals, making them easier to deal with. So it, like, unrandied their stallions.
I kind of believe that this would happen if this were real life, where humanity finds these ancient, incomprehensibly advanced spaceships floating around in space. They're like probably a couple million years they've been here. A bunch of jars of dust. They open some up very carefully in a lab behind bubbles. They test them. They say biological. That's weird. Definitely present other life, but also inert. Let's throw some in a cow's face. See what the cow does, huh?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, Cow didn't get mad. Isn't that weird? Normally cows get mad when you throw sand in their face, but they get mad at the dust.
Yeah, that, I mean, it is exactly the predictable thing. It's just like, I mean, it, we didn't detect anything wrong with it. Do you want a line? It's like, yeah.
wait, give it to the monkey first.
Yeah, if he gets high, then we're not going to do it. One of the main domesticated animals that they had been giving the precursor dust to was an animal called the pheru, which is P-H-E-R-U.
Okay.
In my research, I couldn't find out what it officially looks like, but it is described as being like small and like a popular, both edible and domesticatable pet. So I think it's comparable to like a hairless rabbit.
Okay. I was going to guess like a little chicken.
I was going to say pig. My new HR guy at work has a pet pig.
Is it cute?
I've never seen it, but he talks about it a lot.
Yeah.
There's an HR guy at work named Papa, and I love that name.
Oh my God, is it Papa Pig? How tall is he?
Different HR guys. He's 17 feet tall, completely unrelated. But,
The pheru is a popular pet, like a domesticated animal and pet. So that's why I think it's a bunny, because it's like a thing that some people eat and some people cuddle, sort of thing. Right? It's like comparable to that. Like no one goes over to like some other guy's house and is just like, oh yeah, we have hamster stew or whatever. But I mean,
guinea pigs are eaten in Peru and certain parts of the world, right?
Yeah, but a guinea pig and a rabbit are kind of a similar pet. You give them a little cardboard tube to chew on, they're fat and they smell weird, and then they die when they're three.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if people somewhere were eating hamsters.
It's whenever you go to a restaurant and you get guinea pigs, you have to order two or else they get lonely.
I heard that. That's the plate.
Well, I think that people should order three, because what if a stranger comes up to your table and pulls up a chair and wants to join you guys for dinner? You gonna not treat them to a tasty guinea pig? Come on.
You know, Lady and the Tramp, an entire guinea pig? No, I don't think so. Mushing it together between your faces.
Just me sitting at the table. Wait, with a guinea pig's head in my mouth, waiting expectantly.
Held up with chopsticks.
Just waiting expectantly, looking at this stranger who's just trying to have dinner and enjoy their own guinea pig.
One of the main owners of the pheru were the San Shayum, who were another accelerated race from the precursors and would eventually become the hierarchs of the Covenant, which we talked about in our Covenant episode.
Yeah.
So they're the kind of like hunched over ET looking guys.
Yeah, and they float, right? Or they're on floating little platforms.
They sit in floating chairs because they're royalty at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've evolved past the need for four handsome guys to carry them around. They just use, like, I don't know, magnets or something.
Yeah. Some kind of incomprehensible technology.
Exactly. Some kind of precursor bullshit. Based on what's coming... sorry. We already had this conversation. I'm rereading something we just modified. Mm-hmm. So dosing the pheru with powdered aliens made them more amicable and easier to deal with, which resulted in the pheru becoming even more desirable and creating a black market for, like, calm rats. So, like, dosed pheru were more valuable, but illegal or something in the society that existed at this time.
I also love that, you know, some sort of government institution found all this alien space dust and it was instantly flooded on the black market. And they're just like, we're giving it to rabbits. Get yours, huh? I'd pay almost twice as much for a rabbit that's been rolled in space dust.
Yeah, they're just like, they're like powdered in it. They don't even get fed to them. Treating pheru with alien dust continued for centuries, leading me to ask how many fucking precursors were actually stored in these ships, because they had disintegrated themselves as kind of some last ditch like effort, but it was just like, oh my fucking God, dude, there's only a billion of us left. They're clearly going to kill us all. And then it's just like, we should atomize ourselves. Yeah. That sounds great. Because if they had centuries worth of like medication for domesticated animals that were popular on the black market.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I mean, I don't really know why they did that, right? Like, why turn yourself to powdered sugar? just why? You know, it seems like a terrible defense mechanism.
To prank your friends.
Prank your friends. Yeah. True. Yeah. It's like, they're all cans of nuts with like those fake spring snakes and a bunch of viral dust in them.
Yeah, just. Yeah, I want to prank my friends who are all cops. And when they stab a knife into a white brick wrapped in plastic wrap and masking tape, they're going to lick the blade of the knife and be like, oh, it's Pete. He got me.
Yeah, it's just going to turn into your dick in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, he like rubs it on his gums to check if it's me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, just you hear Pete's voice from the bag of powder, like, guess who just got teabagged? Ah, Pete, you son of a bitch.
Dumps it into the water, just like flushes down a toilet. The dust began to change the Faerû, however, after hundreds of years. First manifesting as soft, loose fur between their shoulder blades. So, oh no, they're becoming Italians. The fur was seen as soft and cuddly, especially by the San Shayum. So we're just like, maybe we made a mistake in investing in hairless rats. I don't know. I kind of like this much better now that they have like snuggly fur on them.
Mm-hmm.
The Faerû eventually began to like eat the hair off of each other, though, which seems to have led to an exponential kind of development of mutations within the population of domesticated Faerû. After they started eating the hair that was growing on them, fleshy tumors began to appear, as well as something called striped rods. I think that's probably kind of analogous to the flood tentacles that pop out of the chest. They have like the little rings around them.
Yeah,
so it's kind of striped, and they have like the little seaweedy thing at the end there. For those who couldn't see, I was just flapping my hands wildly at the camera.
Yeah, like
as
little,
the
like
men
little
could understand me.
Things.
Yeah. You know how seaweed behaves.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Domesticated foreign animals were being had started being released back into the wild. They were just like, I don't know, they're getting kind of cannibalistic and gross, and they're eating all that cuddly fur. We'll just send them out into the wild. And, you know, domesticated animals being released into the wild has never caused issues in the past, so I don't see why it would now, considering 100,000 years ago is the past, so no problems have ever been caused at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If anything, we'll be a learning experience for future generations. Yeah. That's how I like to look at my life.
I mean, they do things different in the past, apparently, because it really does feel like if you just had this like viral outbreak amongst your livestock population, you would do something to cull them or fix the problem before, you know, that disease, I don't know, perhaps had the chance to spread to humans or something of the sort.
Yeah, like went totally crazy or something like
yeah.
that.
That's it.
And fuck things up for people, maybe?
That'd be the obvious thing to do, is deal with it. But I guess releasing them back into the population is what they did back then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. and honestly, why mess with tradition? The link between the precursor dust and the mutations, for some reason, was never made. The assumption was that the pets had simply become too inbred. Like, the hierarchs, the forerunner, and humans were never just like, what's changed recently? is it because we're like overbreeding them, or is it the alien dust we just recently discovered that has changed everything? It's like, no,
maybe it's God's wrath.
Oh, I didn't consider that.
Sent a plague of Faerû on the seventh day.
Could be
Faerû. Let my people go, huh?
That's an episode title. You might want to note that one down. I like that.
That's a Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat reference, I think.
Or just, it's just like, or even, Faerû Let My People Go is Moses. So it'd be like the Prince of Egypt movie, or just the Ten Commandments or whatever. Like, I know it's been remade 1,000 times.
Yeah, exactly. A tale as old as time.
Yeah. Over time. Now, remember, these are both domesticated and edible. Over time, humans in San Shayum who had eaten dosed Faerû began to exhibit similar symptoms. So, hair on their shoulders. also the tumors and, like, the other growths and shit. But, like,
Is my hairier to you?
Yeah.
Shut up,
like,
Bill.
I know I'm 55, but, like, it's just, like, is this natural? This infection would then pass from human to human and human to San Shayum, but rarely from San Shayum to human. So the hierarchs themselves couldn't really pass on the dust infection as quickly as, or as efficiently as the other species. These infected individuals are also referred to as antecedents, as they like predate the flood themselves.
Sure.
Infected humans became compelled to eat infected pharaoh, so they got addicted to the dust that they were putting inside of their rabbits, as well as rifling through dumpsters and taking deep labored drags out of discarded blue masks. So,
so we got the precursors to the forerunners to the antecedents to the flood.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, got it.
Yeah, Halo is only about, like, synonyms for before. Like, like based the entire franchise on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Over time, the infection began to transform the infected into a variety of specialized forms. So, forms for combat, biomass harvesting, as well as both trapping and helping stepsisters. So, there was a flood for everything.
There you go.
The flood spread easily, using existing spacefaring technology to infect hundreds of planets in 15 systems, or 15 solar systems in a short amount of time. Humanity began destroying Forerunner ships and cleansing Forerunner planets as soon as the flood was detected. So they basically just like pull over an entire planet and be like, "Hey, buddy, your headlights busted. Gotta go. The moon's out." Sort of shit.
I pulled you over because you have expired plates, but I was going to walk my canine unit around, see if he, you know, actions any flood in your car there. You wouldn't have anything. You could tell me about it. You know, it's going to be better for you if you tell me about it now.
Don't have any tentacles in the glovey, do you?
Yeah.
Just like spills out. Just like, I mean, oh god, I did. I'm so sorry.
Could you step out the car? Let me see your shoulders, please.
Pretty hairy.
Looking pretty hairy.
Dude, letting the dog like be the thing. Like the dog is signaling is the most like. The cop could just say that if he wants to, right? Like, there's nothing to back that up other than a dog being interested in the thing you're pointing it at.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, well, of course, there could be, like, bread somewhere in the car. Like, yeah. The fucking animal doesn't know.
Kind of rude to search just based on that.
Yeah.
Kind of rude to search for flood based on canine searches.
Yeah, I'm against it.
They are incredible dogs, though. I'm not going to lie. I was watching a streamer today, and he just spent 5 hours streaming live PD, essentially. So I watched it basically all day. Very relevant.
I watched a lot of that too, man. Whenever the person's like, "Am I being arrested?" I'm like at home being like, "No, dude, you're being detained. Don't you know the law?"
Idiot. I really want to find a streamer that will watch all of Judge Judy, right, basically, because I feel like that's kind of a similar itch, you know, just watching people's problems.
There's a paternity court one that's really good to watch, and I was watching a streamer do it the other day, and the whole thing is just like they have the kid on camera, and they're like the parents are fighting about who owns it and stuff. It's fucked up.
That sounds too sad for me.
Up. Yeah,
I'd rather people fighting over who gets the dishwasher in the divorce, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's gonna be me. Yeah. All right. I use that thing all the time. The Lord of Admirals within the human navy was a man named Forthenko.
Forthenko?
Forthenko. Forthenko.
Like before.
Yeah, it's like the level of his think going. Like there's a 5 Thenko and a 6 Thenko.
Yeah. Oh, you think that's actually his rank? His name is actually Thenko.
This is antecedent Twitch speak, I believe. It's very Forthenko of you to come up with that, James.
Yeah, exactly. And then Thenko kind of sounds like Cinco, so maybe it's just someone who was counting and they were switching languages in between. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Or he just has a lisp and he's trying to speak Spanish.
True.
Forthenko.
Mm-hmm.
Papi. What?
Forthenko papi.
Forthenko papi. For some reason, Forthenko decided not to warn the Forerunner before glassing their planets. He said this was to ensure the Flood could not see it coming. The Flood had the ability to retain the memories of their hosts, which I would say, lore boys can in a bit, is the purpose of the dust, right? Like the dust was supposed to revive the precursor bodies with their memories intact. So after eating rabbits contaminated with it, then the flood itself has changed within their bodies and could, you know, they can read your mail. They can legally read your mail. So he didn't want to send anything to Forerunner planets to let them know.
I'll allow it. Pete, you get the dishwasher.
Yeah. Thanks. Forthanko's conspiracy backfired. Imagine that. And his actions were perceived as humanity simply being expansionist conquerors, imagining that the Flood themselves were made up as well. So his unprovoked attacks on entire planets with no information given whatsoever was somehow perceived negatively by the Forerunners.
Seen as an act of war somehow?
It seems like they may have seen that as an act of war, exactly.
Now, the dog was signaling, so they had the right to do
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
They pulled over the planet. The guy was a little bit rude at the beginning there. And then after that, that was the end of it.
Those are the mighty hairy shoulders you have there, friend. Oh, these shoulders aren't mine. I was holding them for a Greek friend. Just, you know, not mine though, officer.
Those shoulders are mighty hairy there, bud. It is in some ways hard to say Forthanko was wrong, considering the enemy could essentially read minds. But his actions obviously led to the Human Forerunner War, which we're not going to get into right now because that's a whole other story. Humanity ended up fighting a two-front war, which was a real Halo combat evolved, as the saying goes,
sure.
Against both the Forerunner and the Flood. The Forerunner were surprised how easily they beat back humanity, what with their, you know, being able to pull over entire planets up until this point.
Yep.
Since they were busy fighting some imaginary enemy on some imaginary second front, right?
Surprisingly good at fighting, considering they warred their gods to death.
Yeah.
Like 10 million years ago.
The Forerunner finally came into recorded contact with the Flood during this time. So they managed to see that, we started this war based on a lie, based on the truth. The most gray kind of war, I guess. So morally gray.
I didn't know Halo was directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bruce Willis is just like, oh no, humanity was right the whole time.
Yeah. I see hairy shoulders.
Imagine if that's what Haley Joel Osment's nightmares were about, is guys with hairy shoulders.
just old Greek man with really hairy shoulders.
Just like one eyebrow.
Someone who never met me looked at my stream from like my WoW friends, and they're like, you look like Haley Joel Osment.
I can kind of see it now. I put on a bit of weight. Adult. I can see that, actually. Yeah.
I'm not sure I see it at all. Maybe I've just known you.
You've known me a long time, though, Ethan. So
you got to first pull up the clip for that one.
Yeah.
The Forerunner came into contact with the Flood during the Human Forerunner War and were predictably unprepared for fighting two fronts, and several of their fleets were completely devastated. The Flood proved hard to study. Their bodies tend to fall apart, what with them being based, they're dust based.
Yeah, they just crumble to dust every time. When you shoot them in the games, too, that's what happens. And I'm sure they do that as a way of preserving RAM, like on the original Xbox, was like, yeah, don't have the bodies fall, just have them explode into dust when they die.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's very effective.
That's been canonized now, anyway. the fact they're just, like, a hip and legs is lore accurate, basically. Yeah.
Right. Just like women, right?
Jesus. So dumb. The Flood, for some reason, began to retreat shortly after contact with the Forerunner. The Didact, which is just a rank that is given his name, he's the villain from Halo 4. He had theorized that this was actually intentional. Excuse me, I lost my place there for a second.
That's okay.
Despite the lack of usable material, the Forerunner managed to discover something called the Logic Plague. The Flood seemed to be able to corrupt AI as well as flesh, but that they came into contact with, causing families in minivans to constantly turn the wrong direction on clearly labeled highways, so people turn off bridges when their GPS would tell them to. and they would also have Snake uninstalled from their TI-83 calculators.
Oh, damn.
Microsoft, which we do have an episode on, actually.
Microsoft Sam learned how to say the word crotch instead of crow's nest. Very, very rude.
He had a bunch of other things he would say to me. I should do a Microsoft Sam episode one of these
someday,
days.
That would be fucking someday.
Hilarious. Or text-to-speech in general. There's like a rich history there, for sure.
Following the calculator sabotage, the Flood appeared to retreat from the galaxy entirely for nearly 10,000 years. In the interim, the Forerunner figured they'd get humanity out of the picture. So this is the explanation to your question from earlier, Ethan. They took advantage of the weakened humans and drove them back to their capital, which at this time was called Karim Hakor. And after this, they managed to devolve the race and leave us on our planet of origin, the Earth.
And kind of ironic, because cavemen are historically depicted as having very hairy shoulders, right? Give them
it's like a leftover side effect.
Can I just say this is the stupidest plan yet of the Forerunners, because it's like humans are like, hey, there's this problem in the galaxy called the Flood, so we blew up one of your planets that was infected with the Flood. And they're like, that's stupid. That's nothing but a ghost tale. We're going to war with you over blowing up our planet. And humanity is like, you know what? That sucks. But we're gonna defend ourselves from you, and we're going to keep trying to kill the Flood. And then they find out the Flood are real, and are like, well, we got to put an end to these Flood. These humans are already doing a pretty good job of it by blowing up planets, but you know what? Let's get them out of the picture instead of making peace, and then we'll just try and tackle the Flood ourselves. That's how good? Yeah. Like,
send these guys back to the fucking Stone Age.
Literally.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they turned us back into cavemen or just took away the metric system and sent us back to Earth or whatever the fuck, but regardless, we turned back into worthless savages, and then, like, evolved normally. So all this alt history is written out of existence when they just plop us back into, I don't know, like the Fertile Crescent 10,000 years ago or something. They're like, cool.
No. Takes
care of that plot hole.
Take all their keyboards so they don't know how to write any of this down with traditional tools, yeah, and they'll have to reinvent it. But leave some pyramids behind just to remind them what for, huh? What's all a pyramid? You remember those things? What's a pyramid? You remember those things 9 million years ago that the precursor showed us? Leave some of those.
and remind them what for. It's definitely spelled F-O-R-E.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So this is when the Didact gets involved. He favored precision military strikes and the construction of shield worlds like Onyx. Shield worlds are planet-sized defense systems, which we see in the novel Ghosts of Onyx. And they have the capacity to just like break apart into trillions of sentinel robots. We mentioned shield worlds in the past in some of the older episodes as well, because they're relevant to the Covenant and humanity as well.
The writers of this show really feel there is a strong defense into breaking into millions of tiny pieces, because that's exactly what the precursors thought too. We'll take one big thing, break it into millions of little things. There's no way they could kill all the millions of little things. There's too many.
Thankfully, they didn't start just like feeding sentinels to their domesticated animals and then wondering what the problem was. Yeah.
They have strangely metallic backs these days.
Yeah.
That's an old philosophy problem. It's like if you took a person and you took all their little atoms away and you put them all back together somewhere else, would they still think the same? Would they still be the same person?
Who knows? Ship of Theseus, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Twitch streams, I heard the funniest take on the Twitch of Theseus just yesterday, where it was like, if you gave the Ship of Theseus a fursuit, is it still the same ship? Which is just a great sentence.
If all the pieces are underneath, yeah, I guess.
The great moral thinkers of our time are still at work on twitch.tv, clearly.
Having played Halo recently, the Flood Killer tech of the Sentinel robots is in the game from day one. Like, you fight alongside and then against the Sentinels in the library and on the Pillar of Autumn at the end of the game. And the Sentinel beam in Halo 2 is easily the best way to kill the Flood. It just burns their bodies away. It returns them to the dust, basically. I kind of like the fact that making a shield world out of Sentinels is like a game-related thing, opposed to this Ancient Alien bullshit that we're dealing with, where the Forerunners just make a series of insane mistakes after they fed cocaine to all their domesticated pets. The little robot janitor that you interact with in Halo 343 Guilty Spark also like clarifies that ballistic weapons aren't very good against the Flood, which is also reflected in the gameplay. So like they really did work this in from the beginning, and these novels came out after the game, so yeah. This is someone working way too far backwards, in my opinion, but like at least still retaining a little bit of that.
We have to make this story make sense, damn it. Let's start 10 million years ago.
Yeah. That'll give us enough time to sort shit out.
Okay.
Huge fucking leeway.
10 million years ago, there's a bunch of humans on a ship, but humans didn't exist 10 million years ago. Shut up, no. Damn it.
I call for that. The aliens will both elevate us and return us to cavemen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Elevate us from and return us to. Our natural state is caveman.
Yeah, don't you see? We were hyper-evolved before we were idiots, and then we became normally evolved to become hyper-evolved again. Don't you know basic sci-fi, damn it?
The builder cast of the Forerunner was against the idea of big number of small gun, and they settled on small number of big gun.
That's cool. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. So in that case, you're much more of a builder cast guy. You're just like, don't make a planet out of tiny robots. Make a planet, but less of them. One so this is the planet. 7 Halo installations.
If you like it, you should have put a ring on it, said the builder cast.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bayhive was responsible for the creation of the Halo installations.
Yeah, yeah.
And the conservation of the galaxy species aboard the Ark, which is a space station anchored outside of the galaxy that you go to in Halo 3. It's Halo kind of the 3. Command center for the Halo Array. The Halos were built to destroy all intelligent, edible races in the galaxy. anything related to what would be called neural physics. So the Forerunner devolving people back to the Stone Age is the reason humans still exist in the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay.
Because the Halo weapons somehow, I guess, do like an IQ test at the time of firing and didn't atomize cavemen because I guess they showed up, or whatever, the energy beam showed up, saw someone squatting in a ditch, taking a shit in swamp water, and was just like, I don't think that the Flood are going to take need that.
It just feels cruel.
Yeah.
said the energy beam before careening off to wipe out another intelligent species.
Around it. The Forerunner had loaded a gun at this point and pressed it against the temple of the Milky Way galaxy, saying, you can't fire me. All the while waiting for the Flood's monocle to pop off with indignation into their like sparkling flute of biomass.
Yeah.
So that they could then say, I quit, and pull the trigger. Not turning them to dust, but like actually dissolving and atomizing like sentient life in the galaxy. Okay. Authentic biomass only comes from the biomass region of France as well, so that's why it's not. It's just sparkling biomass.
Exactly.
Sludge.
So they pull the trigger, the Forerunners?
They do.
And the Covenant, the ET Covenant, they're okay through it all?
This was not explained. The Hierarch somehow made it through.
Okay, sure. Yeah, sure.
I guess they weren't advanced enough. They were just like fuzzy bunny lovers, and that wasn't seen as a threat or something.
Yeah, there was two qualifications. There was you had to be smart enough, and you had to have legs that you were willing to use. And they didn't have legs they were willing to use, so.
Yeah.
You know,
there was like a planet of joggers, gone. Never seen again.
Don't pick on the dumb kid. Don't pick on the kid in the wheelchair. That's the laser's two rules. By God, the all-destroying laser lives by.
Yeah, the Halo arrays function on like an elementary school like class system, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of my good friends, Vince, who sometimes listens to the show, went to a hockey game with his friend who's in a wheelchair, and they had the national anthem, and everybody stood up, and Vince looks at his friend like, come on, man, stand up. It's the national anthem. and they're laughing together, but some other person, this lady, got really mad at Vince for saying that to him. Because, like, defending the guy who doesn't want to be defended. He wants to have, like, those jokes.
Yeah. Thanks, Karen.
Classic fucking Karen. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thanks, Karen. You're ruining the national anthem for me.
My disabled friend and I were just trying to enjoy ourselves. Karen, I'm sorry.
She turns around and takes off her Karen haircut and puts it to her chest.
Yeah. Holding her Karen haircut over her heart.
All wine for the national anthem. So the Forerunner would eventually come into contact with the Flood again on the planet Seaward in and around the year 97,745 BC.
Seaward, like the the what you call friends in Australia, or?
Yeah, Seaward, like S-E-A-W-A-R-D. It's the human name for the planet now that we've discovered it, because the Forerunners, as we're going to find out, didn't threaten the Milky Way with nothing. They weren't no bitch.
But Seaward, not cunt, not Seaward, right?
Oh, excuse me. Yes, they did not rediscover the Flood had been living on the planet, cunt. That is not...
That's what I thought you were saying. I was like, first of all, why isn't he just saying it? Why is he giving it so much power? Second of all, why are they living there? Why would the writers write that? But they didn't. It was me who was stupid.
Like Halo, no one even says fuck. I don't know if that's their PG-13 one word to get away with that they would choose.
The opening like cutscenes always have like the bare black borders, and then they say like the mission name, and it's usually the place that you are, and it's just like C asterisk 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 like on the screen. You're like, what?
That would be interesting. That might not be in the remaster. They may have taken it out.
That's when you hit when you switch the graphics options in the remastered during that cutscene. It'll show you the old one, and then the new one, it says C Ward instead.
You play as Master C Ward.
So they started censoring swears some 9,000 years after the war with the ancient humans had ended. So we were 9,000 years into being cavemen again. The Flood had changed, but the Forerunner had not. Very stuck in their ways. The strategies that the Forerunner developed were for disease control and not warfare, and the Flood had changed into an infectious military force at this point.
Yeah.
After spending time away studying in Europe, the Flood had learned how to create grave mines, which were like gigantic landfills of genetic material who could act as what are called the compound intelligence that could psychically command like kind of nearby Flood forces. So now they had invented basically biological radio so that they could communicate over long distances.
Compound intelligence. It's like, cool. I feel like Twitch chat can figure out anything if you have a big enough Twitch chat, but they're all idiots on their own.
Yeah.
But they have a compound intelligence.
Oh yeah. A Flood could never beat Pokemon Red without a grave mine.
Yeah.
Exactly. and sure, it took 11 days or whatever the fuck, but this is how they finally did it.
And they praise the Helix fossil. That's why they all look like like weird sea monsters, right?
It's true.
Yeah. Battery Jesus is coming up shortly in the next paragraph. This is dubbed the coordinated stage of their evolution. So basically, like Twitch plays Pokemon stage of the Flood evolution. The early tactics of the new Flood involved just bombarding Forerunner planets with unarmed civilian spacecraft filled with infected bodies. Their orbital fleets would at first hesitate to kill civilians or tourists, which allowed the Floods to land and infest a planet with relative ease.
Flood would never invade Disney World. It's the happiest place on Earth.
Frankly, have you seen some shit from Disney World? I would almost prefer the Flood.
It's like a guy in a goofy costume, but a bunch of those like weird like waving his hands, tendrils coming out of its mouth.
Gorse, Master Chief. I feel a little under the weather today.
I was watching Meaty Claw.
I've heard from other podcasts of people who've worked there, and all the people in these costumes that have the big masks are just sweating, boiling hot, and like suffering in there. So they have this big smile on the outside, but they're just like panting and terrible on the inside.
I had a buddy of mine who worked at Disney World in Florida, in Orlando. He thankfully was cast as stereotypical Canadian, but he had like only a few plaid shirt costumes that he was allowed to wear that were washed by other staff. So he had like... he was like hermetically sealed into a plaid shirt.
Do they have like Canadians on display at Disney World? Like,
it's part of the new, slightly less racist, It's a Small World display. They have like actors who go around dressed up as like national stereotypes, and he was the Canadian guy, so they cast him as Lumberjack.
Right. Here we have a talking mouse. Here we have a man who works north of the border.
That's it.
Yeah, we've got all the nationalities here.
In my country, ya hoser, we got free healthcare. That's it. Take him out.
As he's being dragged, I'll come to your house and slam your cupboard doors.
Yeah.
take away one of his plaid shirts. just two rations this week. So out of desperation, the Forerunner Armada would simply bombard infected planets, recycling the tactic that humanity had been using on them. However, at this point, it was obviously far too late. The Flood, having retreated, were based somewhere else in the Milky Way. So they had set up shop somewhere else with their multiple kind of relayed grave mines so that they could communicate constantly. But the fact that the Forerunner concentrated on turning humanity back into cavemen means they never bothered looking for the Flood in the first place. The orbital bombardment, if orbital bombardment wasn't an option, local Forerunner leaders would amass their own weapons of mass destruction in a few places around a planet and just detonate them, committing suicide in the hope that some other planet could be spared. George does this in Halo Reach when they detonate the bomb on the Covenant ship. So it's a little similar plot point there.
Okay, sure.
The Forerunner had tried to deploy Sentinel robots from their shield worlds, but after that failed, they attempted one of, I'm not gonna lie, one of the coolest fucking things that I've read recently, which is called premature stellar collapse. This tactic involved...
A lot of men suffer from it, okay?
Is there a black hole in your life? Don't worry, we have a pill for you.
Yeah, so this tactic involved exactly that, was, I mean, fixing the dicks of Forerunner men, but also the bombardment of solar system of a solar system star to the point where it would go supernova and burn all the planets in its orbit to dust, as well as killing all edible aliens and the Flood on those planets, turning them back into dust, which, of course, is their natural form.
Yeah.
At the same time, one of the Forerunner's most important AIs, called the Medicant Bias, had Snake uninstalled from its operating system defected to the Gravemind, granting the Gravemind untold amounts of data regarding the Forerunner strategies. The Flood can now control Forerunner super weapons because they were connected to the Wi-Fi and turned them in on their own worlds. Having conquered the Forerunner AI and being based in like huffed precursor dust, basically, the Flood could now turn even more esoteric technology against the Forerunners. They could now weaponize a network built by the precursor called the Star Roads, which were like physical multi-kilometer thick cables that would join star systems together, and they could use
that
these,
would
like,
take multiple kilometers, let me tell you.
Yeah.
1 kilometer will not bridge two stars.
No. But Flood could now use these gigantic intergalactic threads to like smash planets apart like a flail.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so the Forerunner finally realized it's time to pull the trigger on the pistol they had pressed against their temples this whole time. And in 97,445 BC, they activated the Halo Array. After testing one of them on the ancient human world of Charim Hakur, all of the useful life to the Flood was wiped out, starving them to death and ending the plague. Humanity, having been devolved, like I said, and just like plopped back onto Earth, survived, and some Flood specimens that were in laboratories on the Halos themselves survived as well, only to be released by accident centuries later.
So that is by Flood. Mr. Chief.
But I think it's the Covenant actually released the Flood in Halo, but that is the Flood before Halo. I hope
a lot of C words. Covenant, Chief,
Cunt.
Cunt.
All right, cool.
Should we start just going through the dictionary, all the C words, while Peter pees?
Yeah, we should. What's the first one, do you think? Like, without looking.
Cabinet? Or cab, maybe?
Oh, cabinet's good. Is there double A? Is there, like, a cane?
Carnivorous. if you say it weird, I guess. Cabinet's probably a good one.
Cabinet's really good. That was quick. You came up with that really quick.
C-A-B. It's the first three letters of the alphabet simply rearranged, you understand?
Yeah. You're not wrong. Just straight up cab is better than cabinet.
Cab would go first. Yeah. And then if there's a cabana, would go before cabinet as well. What other words go before cabinet in the alphabet? Is there a cabe, like a system of cabes?
I wish.
Cable? No, that L comes after I. Pete, what's the first, the earliest C word that you can think of? I already got cabinet, but there's one earlier than that in the dictionary. There's at least two earlier than that.
Oh, I got a good one for you guys too. Cabbage?
Cabbage is a good one.
What's the shortest amount of letters in a C, in a C word you could have?
One? C?
No, it's two. Can you guess the word?
Co.
It's C-Y, and I have no idea what it means.
Oh, sorry. That's fun.
Sorry about that. I was rushing at the end there because my kidneys were going to explode. I had to piss so bad.
That's okay. We vamped very effectively. We talked about words in the alphabet or words in the dictionary.
Thank God.
The one I came up with before cabinet was cabana.
Cabana's good.
Oh, cabana would be before cabbage.
Ooh,
as well.
Cabal is good.
Cabal, yeah. That would be before cabana.
Ooh, cabaletas. What's a cabaleta? I like it.
Sounds like a type of shoe, maybe.
It's a short operatic aria of simple form and style. It's music. Oh,
music. Yeah. There you go. Or maybe a type of shoe. There's no way to tell. Okay, you're looking up all these other words. Did we ever find out what CY is?
Oh, it's short for cycle. You guys want to go for a sigh later?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we going somewhere? Let me grab my sigh. It's short for cycle, of course, you know.
Like everybody just shaking their fucking heads.
Jesus Christ, Barry, get in the Uber.
Cabbage head means informal, a stupid person.
Ooh, so does a moon calf. There's another informal word for stupid person for you guys.
A moon calf?
Yep.
Like a cow?
Yeah. But like moon calf.
Can you name a 15-letter word that starts with C? Oh,
such so specific.
Cancerousnesses.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's relevant for a discussion about the flood at the very least.
Yeah, that would have been my last guess, I'm not gonna lie.
Cannibalization, which is not a bad one.
Yeah. Cannibal corpse.
Yeah, that's two words.
Oh, there's a lot of them. Holy, there's 13 pages of them.
13 pages of 15-letter-long C words?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
And according to dictionary.com/e/wordfinder/words that start with C.
There you go. Does that start with an HTTPS?
I'll hit you with it.
www. We'll post it on Patreon. We'll post it on Patreon instead of the false titles for this episode. There you go, folks. Try and figure out what we're talking about this week.
Cauliflower et. I like that. That's cute. And a vegetable.
That is cute.
It does sound like an hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah.
Pete, you want to take us home?
Yeah. So the episode's done. So now it's just the outro. So I'll just start out. I'll just do a regular outro out of there.
Yeah, sure.
We've never stopped recording.
I don't think I'm going to cut any of this. So now that the listeners know that that's what you were planning on doing, but this is all staying in.
No, a little peek behind the curtain.
It's like you said, they love the banter, right?
Yeah, just leave it.
They got the meat. If they didn't want to stay for this, they didn't have to, because this is just extra credit at this point.
You don't want the chat. That was the Halo. I've been Peter O'Donohue, always on a hot mic. Thank God I didn't say anything offensive.
We said a couple offensive things this episode, but they'll stay in. Let the listeners decide.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about context. You can find my work at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram or at squared-idea.com. That's where you can find me. And Jimbo, what if I wanted to, I don't know, infect your body over hundreds of years?
Well, if you can find me on Discord, where you can see some of my characteristics or maybe some of my changefulness or my childlikenesses, which are all 15-letter C words.
There we go.
I got it, Jamie, without you explaining it, but thank you.
You can find me on Discord. So just go to loreboys.com/about, and you'll find us on Discord. Lots of cool folks there hanging out. So yeah. Come on by.
Thanks to all our supporters on Patreon. Big shout out to you guys. Much love. Anybody wants to get in touch with us, like Jamie said, go to Discord, or you can send us an email. We're gathering stock for another mailbag. It was a ton of fun. We promised to do the audio better this time when we do it.
Yeah.
and we'll release it with better quality. But we had a blast doing it. It seems like you guys enjoyed listening to it, or at least some of you. So we'll do another one at some point. But we need you, of course. We need your emails. So send them on over, or send us a message on Discord and just let us know, like, hey, could I ask you this question on the mailbag or something? And we'd be happy to read it. Also, if you want to remain anonymous in your questions, just make sure to call it out. Otherwise, we'll probably read your name or whatever you signed your email with. Yeah, thank you for listening. You guys are great. We do have Lore Boys Prime, as always, a service that we offer to you guys to send us something, and we'll do something for you in return. We are, of course, collecting jars of dust, but we want it to be bio dust. So I'm sure that I have requested your toenails and hair before, but I'm doing it again so we can pulverize it into a fine dust. I started experimenting, guys, with various body parts with nerve endings in a grinder, and they all hurt. Every single one of them hurt. It turns out there's very few, even my ears. Like, my ears aren't pierced, so I'm not used to pain on, like, pain in the cartilage of my ears. But it was quite uncomfortable when I stuck it into the blender. So I've decided instead I'm just going to go with parts that fall off or can be cut off kind of easily on their own. So if you guys lose any eyelashes at home, if you guys lose any toenails, fingernails, and you want to be part of the Lore Boys race in 9 million years after some dumb British explorer ends up opening up a can of fake peanuts and has dust explode in their face, thus infecting them into something that will eventually try and destroy all life in the galaxy, we'd love to have it from you guys. So just make sure to send over $13, plus postage in an envelope with whatever trimmings from your body you might have. Send them over to Pete's place. I don't want to handle them because I personally find it kind of gross, but Pete will take care of it.
Yeah, I'm not vegetarian yet. I'll take all your discarded hair. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, it's the fact that I don't eat meat that makes me uncomfortable handling other people's toenails and body hair.
Obviously,
I'm the squeamish lore boy. I think it's fair to say. And I guess that constitutes a lore boys.
Lore boys out.
Bye.
Crystallization.
Hit me with a couple more, would you?
Cryptozoologies. Oh, I love Cockney. That. Yeah. Cocknification.
Cocknification.
Is that like turning someone into a British orphan?
It's giving someone the affectations of someone with a Cockney accent. So if I gave you, if I Cockneyified you, you would say orse instead of horse.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. In it, governor.
Yeah. And it got there. You're Cockneyification right now.
I Cockneyificationified myself.
You sure have.
Give me one more. One more good C word, please.
Okay, let me give you a really good one. I'm going in.
Yeah.
These are all the counters. These are really easy.
I know a good long C word. I don't think it's 15 letters, but it's Callipagus. And it means having a nice ass.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that is good.
I got that one from Joseph Keller's Cash 22.
Whoa. Concert mistress.
Well, that's like a lady a of the night, one. But specifically like for...
It's a female leader of the first violins in a symphony orchestra, who is usually the assistant to the conductor.
Oh, huh. That is gross.
She's the
concert mistress. I hate that.
That's interesting. Which one of you wrote a script?
My name's Ethan. Dick is a great name for a pug, but pug is not such a great name for a dick. You want to say hi to pug?
I don't know what kind of dog I would want for my dick. Maybe like a wiener dog's too on the nose.
Mastiff is pretty good.
I was thinking that was my backup because it sounds big and beefy and thick.
And hard, right? It's Mastiff. Yeah.
A mastiff just attacked another dog like 5 minutes ago before I got on this call.
My dick is known for biting dogs, so very appropriate.
Wow. I suppose if I had to choose, one of those, like, you know, because I'm a love-making guy, less of a fucking guy, I do one of those wholesome dogs, like a Saint Bernard or something like that.
You can get a cock ring with a little like thing of rum at the bottom.
Yeah,
a little barrel of whiskey dangling from your balls.
I wouldn't do a poodle because I don't want to put that much effort into my pubes. It'd be ridiculous.
If you ever got syphilis, you could call it a Dalmatian.
Oh,
ew.
I guess you could.
You can call mine Corgi because it's long and thin and has stubby legs.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Queen
loves are cute. I love corgis.
I love corgis.